For the last several weeks, we've been on a study called Let's Begin in 2010. Let's Begin in 2010. And friend, I'm here to tell you today that God has got something better in store for you this year than you had last year. God has got something awesome in store for your life this year. He's got an assignment that only you can fulfill on this earth. He has got a God-ordained goal and purpose for you to accomplish in 2010. And, you know, that God-ordained assignment might be a job switch. It might be overcoming an addiction. It might be to begin a relationship with somebody who might eventually become your spouse. It could be an educational path. God has got something specific for you to do this year. Say it with me. God has got something specific for me to do in 2010. And last week we talked about a hindrance to fulfilling God's assignment for you this year. A hindrance. That hindrance was unforgiveness. Did you know that unforgiveness can stop you from fulfilling the God-ordained goal that He's got for you this year? Unforgiveness and bitterness. And the way to uproot any roots of bitterness in your heart is to do what? To love God, okay, is to forgive your offender. And what does it mean to forgive? When you hear the word to forgive or forgiveness, to forgive means to release your offender of the debt that you feel he or she has against you. To release your offender of the debt that you feel he or she has against you. And maybe somebody at one point joked about your weight. Maybe you were trying to lose some weight and somebody said, man, it looks like you gained 10 or 20 pounds. And maybe that person was just joking around with you and you got offended, you got insulted, and you held it against that person. And you might be thinking to yourself, or you might have thought to yourself, the least they could give me is an apology for messing around with me, making me feel small. But friends, you know what? Forgiveness involves releasing the person of the apology you feel that they owe you. God has got something better for you this year. Learn to forgive those who offend you and your insulters. You know, we've been studying the book of Ruth in the Old Testament. And Ruth was of the attitude of a new start, of a new beginning. Ruth was from a country called Moab. She had married one of Naomi's sons. So Naomi happened to be in Moab. Well, Ruth's husband died. Naomi's husband died. And Naomi heard that God had provided for his people food in Judah. So she decided to move back to Bethlehem. And she told Ruth, Naomi told Ruth, well, Ruth, you stay with your people in Moab. And Ruth insisted, no, Naomi, where you go, I will go. Your people will be my people, and your God, Naomi, will be my God. Ruth was of the attitude of a new start. She wanted to move to a new place, to Bethlehem with Naomi. You see, God had something better in store for Ruth. The better thing that God had in store for Ruth was to move to Bethlehem. The better thing that God had in store for Ruth was to marry Boaz eventually. The better thing that God had in store for Ruth was to give birth to Obed, in whose line Jesus Christ was. And friends, God is no respecter of persons. He had a better thing for Ruth, and this year He has got a great thing in store for your life. Could you say amen? Amen. All right. Today I want to talk about another hindrance to fulfilling God's assignment for your life this year and how to overcome this other hindrance. And the hindrance we're going to talk about for just a few minutes here is called walking unrighteously or living in sin. You know, God may have it for you to overcome an addiction this year, to maybe take some courses to overcome alcoholism, or maybe getting high on drugs. And, you know, you may start, or you may have started in the past, and you may start overcoming this addiction. But if you fall back into it, and you start getting even more drunk than before, and higher than before, guess what? You have fallen back into sin, and that is going to stop you from fulfilling God's assignment for you to overcome that addiction this year. Is that making sense? Maybe God has got a job in store for you this year, or maybe a better paying job. And maybe God is speaking to you. Stay later than your employer asks you to stay. You know, come earlier. If he tells you to come at 8:30, to be on the job at 8:30, be there at 8:15. But if you keep showing up late and you keep leaving early, guess what? You're disobeying what God is calling you and telling you to do. And that's sin. You may not get a pay increase. You may lose the job. See, so walking unrighteously will cause us not to fulfill the assignment that God has got for us this year. Maybe God has got in store for you to begin a relationship with somebody, or to reconcile with somebody you were broken with. And you know, maybe every time you meet this person, you get angry. And every time, you know, in successive meetings, you get angrier and angrier with this person. And friends, anger, unrighteous anger, is sin. And if you keep getting angry with this person, guess what? You won't fulfill God's assignment of beginning and restoring that relationship with this person. So how many here could see that sin tries to stop us from fulfilling God's ordained goals for us? Amen? All right, it's a hindrance, but the way to overcome sin is doing what? How do you overcome sin? Walking unrighteously. It's simple. It's the opposite. The way to overcome sin is by walking righteously, by being holy as God is holy. Let's turn to Leviticus 20, verse 26. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 26. And this is what God says. You are to be holy to me because I, the Lord, am holy. And I have set you apart from the nations to be my own. This is straight from the mouth of God. He says, I am holy, and you, my followers, are to be holy as well. 1 Peter 1. Peter repeats the same thought in 1 Peter 1, 15. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. For it is written, be holy, because I am holy. God, the creator of heaven and earth, friends, is holy. What does it mean that he is holy? Holiness is separation from sin. Being set apart from sin. You know, sin, listen to this, sin cannot stand in the presence of a holy God for one millisecond, just like darkness cannot exist in the presence of light. Let me say it again. Sin for even a millisecond cannot exist or stand in the presence of a holy God, just as darkness cannot stand or exist in the presence of light. Now imagine this room at 12 o'clock midnight, completely dark, can't see anything. And say for some reason you had to get into this room and you're bumping into stuff, and all at once, you know, after, you know, bumping around, you kind of find the switch at the back of the wall, back of the room there on the wall. And you turn on the switch. When you turn on the switch in the midst of a dark room, what happens? The darkness is dispelled. It immediately disappears. And that's the God we serve, where sin cannot stand in his presence for even a moment, for even a millisecond. And what does Paul the Apostle write in Ephesians 5:1 to us? He says that we're to be imitators of God. And if we're to be imitators of a holy God, what does that say to me and to you? That we're to be like God. We're to be holy like God is holy. Now, I encourage you to read the book of Ruth. Ruth did this. When Naomi said to Ruth in Ruth 1:15 and 16, she said, no, Ruth, you stay here in Moab with your people. But what did Ruth say? Ruth said to Naomi, no, where you go, I will go. Your people will be my people, and your God, Naomi, will be my God. See, it's very possible that in Moab, Ruth worshipped false gods. She was probably living unrighteously as she worshipped those false gods. But she was of the attitude of the spirit of a new start. She said, Naomi, now your God, creator of heaven and earth, is going to be my God. From today forward, I will worship and serve Yahweh and Yahweh alone. Starting today, I decide, I commit on the inside, Naomi, to live righteously and to serve God and God only. I commit today to live a holy life just as God is holy. I'm leaving the gods of Moab behind. I'm not serving them anymore. I am going to serve only God, creator of heaven and earth. Naomi did it. I mean, Ruth did it. That means we can do it. Turn to Hebrews 12, verse 14. Hebrews 12, verse 14. And here's the key. Brothers, this is serious stuff. You really, really need to meditate upon this. Hebrews 12, verse 14. He writes, make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. And here's the key. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. That's heavy stuff, friends. He says, without holiness, without living righteously, without living a holy life, no one will see the Lord. How many want to see God one day in heaven? Friends, eternity, heaven is forever and ever and ever and ever, friends. It has no end. If you want to see God one day in heaven and live there with Him forever and ever and ever, guess what? You've got to do what the writer of Hebrews 12, 14 is telling us to do, to live holy lives. Because without holiness, none of us will see God, the creator of heaven and earth. None of us will see Jesus, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Amen? Jesus said it in Matthew chapter 7, in the Sermon on the Mount, verses 13 and 14. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. Friends, Broadway leads to destruction. It leads to eternal loss. It leads to an eternity separated from God. But then the good news is this in verse 14 of Matthew 7. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Narrow is the gate. Small is the gate, narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Friends, the walk of holiness is a tight walk. It's a narrow walk. It's a walk of being consecrated to God, being set apart from sin, separate from a lifestyle of sin, separate from the way the world acts and talks and thinks. I want to be one of the few that finds the road that leads to eternal life. How about you? Say it with me. I want to be one of the ones that finds the road, the narrow road that leads to life, life eternal. In Jesus' name, amen. And I've used this illustration before. Maybe some of you have heard it. There's a little animal. Don't know if you've ever heard of this animal. It's called an ermine. It's an ermine. Another name for it is the short-tailed weasel. It's real small. It's got a rich brown coat on the outside and a white one on the inside. And it's found mainly in Arctic regions, northern areas. And it says the ermine's coat is a rich medium brown with an off-white belly. In winter, the coat is thicker, and in regions that experience an inch or more of snow for at least 40 days of the year, the color changes to clean white. Now, here's the point I'm trying to make. This is awesome here. Some of you, like I said, may have heard this before, but let me find what I'm trying to... In the Renaissance era, legend had it that an ermine would die before allowing its pure white coat to be soiled. Listen to that. This little short-tailed weasel would die before allowing its pure white coat to be soiled. When it was being chased by hunters, it would supposedly turn around and give itself up to the hunters rather than risk soiling itself. This ermine, the short-tailed weasel, would fight to the death against a hunter to keep its white coat pure and white. Friends, if an ermine, a little animal, will fight to keep its fur pure and white, I want to tell you today that I, as a human being, want to fight to live a life of holiness, of purity, of righteousness in the sight of God. I don't want to be outdone by a weasel. How about you? Right? Friends, we're created in the image of God. How much more so should we fight to live pure lives and holy lives than an ermine who would fight to keep its coat pure and white? Would you agree? Now, let me make this point to you today. All the sins, and I've said this before, all the sins that you committed up until the point that you accepted Jesus Christ as Savior were forgiven and forgotten by God. It doesn't matter how bad the sin was. Any sin that you committed up until the point that you accepted Christ as your Savior were forgiven by God. Maybe you cussed a lot. Maybe you abused drugs and alcohol. Maybe you abused a certain person in your life. Maybe your thoughts were impure. It doesn't matter what the sin was. When you said, Jesus Christ, be my Savior, guess what? All the sins you committed up until the point you accepted Christ as Savior were forgiven by God. So that when God saw you, He saw you as a new creation. Therefore, if anybody is in Christ Jesus, he is a brand new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. That's in 2 Corinthians 5:17. When God saw you, He saw you as a clean slate. See, when you said, Jesus, be my Savior, you became a clean slate in the eyes of God. When God saw you, He saw Jesus, the spotless and sinless one. But here's the point. That after having accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, many of you will live on this earth 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years or more. And in those years on this earth, you've got to live lives that are righteous and holy, set apart, consecrated. The Christian walk, friends, is a walk of holiness, being set apart from sin. And you know, sometimes you might get weak. God, I'm so weak. God, you know, I'm trying to overcome this addiction, God, but as I'm trying to overcome it, I get tempted, and sometimes I fall for the temptation. Anybody ever been there? I try to think pure thoughts, but my mind just goes wild sometimes and thinks impure thoughts, God. I can't do it on my own. You know, and in your weakness, God's strength will be made evident. Friend, when you get weak and you can't live the holy life, pray to God and say, God, give me your strength. And I guarantee that God will respond to your plea. He will respond to your prayer, and He will divinely empower you to live a holy and a righteous life before Him. He'll give you His supernatural strength to live and to walk righteously. Amen? So in what areas are we to live holy lives? In what areas are we to live holy lives, friends? We're to live holy lives in every area of our existence. In every area of our being, we are to live holy lives. What does that include? Living a holy life in the realm of your... in the realm of your thoughts. That's good. He's reading my sermon. That's good. In the realm of your thoughts. You can either think like the world thinks, and how does the world think? Anybody have any ideas? How does the world, those who are not following Christ, how do they think? Me, myself, and I. They think about one person, and it's me, me, me. What can I do for myself? If somebody hurts me, somebody insults me, you know what? Me is going to get revenge. Getting even. That's the way the world thinks. Revenge and getting even. Right? But what do Christians do who are living holy lives? How are they to think? They're to think thoughts of forgiveness and letting it go in Jesus' name. You know, when maybe a beautiful woman walks by, what thoughts run across your mind? Are they thoughts that the world would think? Or is it the thought, you know what? I'm going to look at this girl like my sister in Christ. I'm going to look at her purely, think about her purely. Let's turn to Philippians 4:8. Philippians 4, verse 8. Paul the Apostle writes,
Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So what kind of thoughts are we to think as Christians who are living holy lives? Pure thoughts, true thoughts, noble thoughts, right thoughts, lovely and admirable thoughts. These are the God kind of thoughts. Say it with me today. I'm going to start thinking the God kind of thoughts. Friends, it comes down to renewing your mind. How do you start thinking the God kind of thoughts? Godly and pure thoughts. How do you renew your minds? How do you start thinking like God? By getting into the Word of God. Reading His Word. You know, the books that you read condition the way you think. The books that you read will influence the way that you think. The magazine and the newspapers. And if any of you out there read any kind of thrillers, it will condition the way your mind works. Why not read the greatest book in the world, the very words of God Himself, the Bible. Let this book, the Bible, condition the way you think. If you start reading it and meditating upon it, guess what? You'll start thinking like the Almighty God. Amen? You'll start thinking like Jesus Christ. Pure thoughts. What's another area in our existence that we are to live holy and righteous lives? Lives set apart unto God, separate from sin. Okay? We're to start living holy lives with our bodies. You can abuse your body the way the world does, or you can treat your body like the temple of God that it is. Paul writes that in 1 Corinthians 3:16, that your body is a temple of God. How many here have accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord? Guess what? For those who have accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, your body is the temple of God. God is right there with you. Give Him a good temple to live in. Do what is holy with that temple. Because God is right there by His Spirit. His Spirit lives on the inside of you. The Holy Spirit. Take care of the temple of God. Amen? Give Him a good and a holy temple to live in. You know, so many people mess up in this area. We do. People mess up in diet. They eat foods that are not the best to eat. They're not on exercise plans. And there was one individual that I met at one of the shelters here some years ago and done a little bit of work with me, but he just smokes so much. He's a good worker, but smokes like a chimney. Smokes like a chimney. And his body is the temple of God, but he's not doing exactly what is holy with that temple because he smokes so much like a chimney. Cigarette after cigarette after cigarette. And he's a fairly young guy. And, you know, going from point A to point B, he's just huffing and puffing. And sometimes when I've talked to him on the phone, he can hardly breathe. That's a sad thing, isn't it? Let's take care of this temple, God's temple, by doing with it what is holy. Amen? All right. Another area of our existence in which we can live a holy life is where? Another area of your existence in which you can live holy and righteous, a life set apart to God, separate from sin. The things that you fix your heart on, the things that you love. I would say in the spiritual realm. In the spiritual realm. In your own human spirit realm. You can do what's holy or unholy. You know, you can open up your spirit, your human spirit to the unclean. How many here like to know what their future holds? I do. You know, some people, when they want to find out what their future holds, guess where they go? And some Christians too. Believe it or not. They go to horoscopes. Some go to fortune tellers. Some go to palm readers. I've even heard some Christians like say it's okay to do such things. You might get some guidance about what your future holds. But friends, when you open up your human spirit to horoscopes,
and to fortune tellers and to palm readers. You're opening up your human spirit to the unclean, and the enemy would want to wreak havoc in your spirit realm if you do what is unholy with your spirit. Who is the only one you're to open up your human spirit to? To the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit lead, guide, and direct you. Let God, by His Holy Spirit, speak to you, to your human spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Do you not know that your body is a temple of what? Of the Holy Spirit. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit of God speak to you concerning your future. Do not open it up to unclean spirits. Amen? Amen? How many want to see God one day in heaven? You've got to live a holy life. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. You know, another area of your existence in which you can live either unholy or holy is with your what? Your words. The words that come out of your mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, Jesus said, the mouth does what? The mouth speaks. What does the world do with their mouth? Those who don't know Jesus Christ. Those who don't follow Christ. I've seen a lot of people in the world cuss like sewers. Every bad word in the book. You know? And if we're followers of Jesus Christ, by God's grace living holy lives, our words have got to be what? They've got to be pure and holy words. Ephesians 4. Let's go to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, so that it may benefit those who listen. What kind of words? Think to yourself, WWJD, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus speak? What kind of words would Jesus speak if He were on this earth today? What kind of words would Jesus speak? John writes in his epistle in 1 John 2, if we claim to live in Christ, we've got to walk as Christ walked. And part of the walk of Christ was what? Was to speak holy words, pure words. Righteous words. You know, the kinds of things that Paul talks about in Philippians 4:8. Whatever things are noble, trustworthy, pure, honorable, think on those things. Speak as well on those things. Speak words that are noble, trustworthy, honorable, pure, lovely, of good report. Is that making sense? Friends, this is living a holy lifestyle in every part of your existence. If Jesus Christ were to appear in the next 10 seconds, would you go to heaven? Would you say to yourself that you're living a righteous and holy lifestyle by God's grace? Friends, I'm here to tell you today, now listen to this, that the return of Jesus Christ is very near. And God has laid this upon my heart to tell the people that His return is closer than we expect, friends. He can come at any time, unexpectedly. It could be in the next 10 minutes. It could be in the next day. It could be in the next month. It could be in the next couple of years. It could be at any time. Nobody knows the day nor the hour, but we do know this. That His second return is very, very close. When Jesus Christ splits the eastern sky and He returns to take up His church, will you be ready to meet Him in the air? Who is the true church? The true church are the true followers of Jesus Christ. The ones who are living holy lifestyles just as God is holy. Friends, don't take this as condemnation. Don't take it as condemnation. It's in the Word of God. The Word of God is full about telling us to live holy lives as God is holy, righteous lives, with our thoughts, with our bodies, with our spirits, with our words, with our relationships, with every part of us as human beings.
It's serious stuff, friends. Without holiness, Hebrews 12:14, no one will see the Lord. It's the Word of God. How many want to see the Lord one day? Start walking the tight walk. Narrow is the road, Jesus said, that leads to life. And only a few find it. Say it with me today. I want to be one of the few that finds life eternal by walking the narrow road. In Jesus' name, amen.